Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Green, Iowa, and today is Sunday, November 21st. It's good to be with you for a scripture reading and a message today as we mark Christ the King Sunday. I want to share three readings with you today, and these are not actually the readings assigned for Christ the King Sunday. We're focusing more on Thanksgiving and on welcoming new members this weekend. But three readings to share with you, beginning in the Hebrew Scriptures with the book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 21 through 27. Do not fear, O soil, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things. Do not fear, you animals of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness are green. The tree bears its fruit, the fig tree and vine give their full yield. O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he has given the early rain for your vindication. He has poured down for you abundant rain, the early and the later rain, as before. The threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vats shall overflow with wine and oil. I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never again be put to shame. Next, we'll jump ahead a few hundred years and read from Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. This is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. As you therefore received Christ, the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him, when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. And the Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. To start off today, I want you to think of something you're worried about. I won't make you share it. You don't need to put it in the chat. I suppose you could if you want. But think of something that's on your mind, something that you can't let go of, some worry or concern that you are carrying with you right now. Were you able to think of something? Got something you're worried about? Well then, you fail at following Jesus' directions, because I just read the verse that says, do not worry, so stop it. Stop worrying, just stop worrying. Don't you wish that it were that simple? And if that worked for you, please give me a call. Send me a message. I want to know how you can just stop worrying on command. Because I think, for me, do not worry is one of the more annoying commands Jesus gives. Because there's a lot to worry about. I could give you a whole list of examples like pandemics and holiday travel this week and climate change, heard a lot about that recently, family members with chronic diseases, but you just thought of your own worries, so you don't need to hear my list. We have some 20-some people who are joining our congregation this weekend as new members, and I'm excited, but I don't want to mislead them when they hear these verses. Joining a church community does not solve all the worries you have in life. We all know that being baptized, being a Christian, does not automatically make everything better. In fact, in a sense, publicly declaring that you are part of a church, well, that commits you to more worries. And I don't mean worries like serving on church council and committees, because now our friends who are joining will be eligible to do that. I mean that in joining a church, you are committing to care for your neighbors. Following Jesus involves caring about the things Jesus cares about. Loving neighbors simply because they're neighbors, because they're made in the image of God, which is great, except sometimes, you know this, it can be a lot to hear about and care about other people's problems. Sometimes we people do our best to be unlovable. As a pastor friend of mine put it, sometimes people can be very people-y. But being part of a church community, making that commitment, means caring for neighbors. Two of the lines in the promises our new members are affirming this weekend are to serve all people following the example of our Lord Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. And if you've been confirmed in this congregation, or you're a member of this congregation and you joined as an adult, you've made those promises too. If you're a confirmation student listening or watching, you're going to be asked to make those promises in the fall of your 9th grade year when you are confirmed. So, if you didn't have enough to worry about before, you should also be worrying about justice and peace in all the earth. That ought to keep you busy. But, Jesus says, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body or your clothes. Just don't worry about it. So annoying, I tell you. But then Jesus gives some more practical directions. And it turns out he has some reasons to back up this command. Look at the flowers in the fields, he says. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Birds and flowers are pretty, but really they're kind of useless and irresponsible. They don't worry about anything, and yet God takes care of them. So what Jesus is saying here is that if God cares enough, if God has enough bandwidth to pay attention to things like grass and flowers and birds, then you can trust God is also paying attention to you. And that's good news. You who are made in God's image, God is paying attention to you who are claimed by God as God's own beloved children. You, Jesus says, who are of much more value than any bird or flower. The opposite of worry, I think, is faith and hope. And faith and hope come from looking at what God has done in the past. God has brought you this far. God has given you life. So if God has been faithful before, and God promises to continue to be faithful, then we can trust God to keep God's promises. God is not done with you. Again, that doesn't mean the worries go away. God's promise is not to make life easy, but to be with you when life is hard. The book of Joel is a good example. I don't know how recently you've read the book of Joel. I suspect probably not a whole lot. It's not most people's favorite book. But if you want to read it, it's very short. In my Bible, it's only about three or four pages long. But the book of Joel is written during a plague of locusts, and things are really bad. People are despairing. They're worried about starving. There's verses like, the vine withers, the fig tree droops, pomegranate, palm, and apple, all trees of the field are dried up. Surely joy withers away among the people. Cheerful, right? things are bad. People are wondering if this plague will ever end. And if it does, what the future will look like. What will be different? They're wondering if God is still with them, or if God has given up, or if maybe God doesn't have the power to help. Any of that sound like maybe it could be relevant today? And then starting in verse 19, just before our reading, God responds to the people's worries. And God says, "Do not fear, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord has done great things." It says, "I will repay you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you." In the midst of the crisis and the doubt and the worry, Joel says, look at what God has done before. Remember how God has been faithful in the past. Look around you at the beauty of the world, the goodness of creation. Look at your own life, count your blessings, and give thanks for them. That's what the holiday this week is all about, right? Lots of the parts of the Bible talk about God's goodness, the mighty wonders in creation God has done. And more than just looking at the physical evidence in creation, look at what God has done for you, personally. Remember how God has claimed you, how God has redeemed you. As that reading from Colossians says, when you were dead in trespasses, when you were stuck in the pit of sin, hopeless, unable to pull yourself out, unable to help yourself, before you could do anything to save yourself, Jesus died for you. You are forgiven. The record of your sins, all the law's demands for punishment and vengeance are set aside, nailed to the cross, put to death, gone, wiped away. And God has made you alive with Christ. Our call as followers of Jesus is to trust in God rather than to worry. Trust in God comes from seeing what God has done, hearing the stories of God's faithfulness over and over, like we're doing right now. Faith is trusting that Christ is King, that God is on the throne, trusting that the God who has acted in the past will continue to act, that the God who has promised to be faithful will continue to be faithful in the future, trusting that God is with you in every moment, every stage of life. God knows our worries. Jesus says our Heavenly Father knows all the things we need. So may we give thanks for what God has done for us, trusting that God will continue to faithfully bless us with all that we need for life, life in this world and for all of eternity. And in gratitude for what God has done, may we use our blessings to bless others. Strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God is faithful. Thanks be to God. I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving week. If you'd like to give an offering to support our work here at St. Peter, you can do so by going to www.stpetergreen.com/giving, or find our congregation in the Vanco Giving app. Or, of course, you can always mail in or drop off your offering as well. And as always, thank you for your generosity. I hope you have a wonderful holiday. We do not have a worship service this year for Thanksgiving, but the season of Advent begins next Saturday and Sunday, so hope to see you then. Now, receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.